Hey, good morning. If I haven't met you, my name's Pastor Miles McPherson. It's good to have you with me today. Just a joy. If it's your first time here, no, that's not. I'm Mickey, and this is the happiest place on earth. Look at your neighbor. Put a big smile on. Let me encourage you. Big smile, resting believer face. Go like this. All right. Can I have you all stand? Going to pray together as we need to talk. We need to talk. And the series is based on the survey of what you wanted to talk about. And so today, hope in hard times. So I trust God will minister. And here's my encouragement to you. We want to get out of here and let the Lord take us here with him on a journey through his scriptures, the hope and healing that he has for us. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the beautiful people that make up Rock Church. The church is people. It's not an organization. It's an organism, a body. We need each other. We need you. And so engage us in the depth of our hearts, the place where we need your touch. Holy Spirit, be our teacher in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before you sit down, someone next to you needs a big, appropriate hug. Give them a hug. Would you give them a hug? You can be seated. Okay, that's enough hugging. Come on. Hey, I want to encourage you to go to the marriage getaway. If you're not married yet, there's still time to get married, to meet someone here. Maybe that person you just hugged, they're the one. You never know how God's going to work. I've been married 44 years. That's for my wife, of course. My wife is Karen Marie Stonier Stonier, either way you pronounce it. Just don't call me Pastor Stoner. I keep reminding you that's just not right. Doesn't sound right. But my wife, during 2020, when COVID hit, we happened to have a young couple from another church over, and they walked through the door for dinner, and they looked at my wife and said, "Karen, I'm so sorry for your name." And we were like, "What?" And they said, "You don't know about Karens?" I was like, no, they pulled up on YouTube, all these Karens. I was like, oh my gosh, honey, I can't call you Karen anymore. It's just wrong. You have a new name. Let's go with your middle name. She said, yeah, I never liked that anyway. So my wife is Marie Stonier. Isn't that beautiful? But I have to tell people, I was married to a Karen for 40 years. But these last 4 years with Sweet Marie has just been heaven on earth. So, same woman. She is amazing. And my family hear this service. You know, I'm a chaplain with a lot of agencies in San Diego. I work with the medical examiner, fire departments, police, military, with hospitals. And on behalf of you and some of our other chaplains that are trained here, I get to go out into the community to bring hope and healing in some of the worst situations. A lot of what I do is interventions for firefighters, police officers, when they respond to some of the most horrific things that a human being is not designed to actually experience, the emotion and pain of others. And there's a process of how to walk through that and to encourage their faith, to connect them to the hope to walk through this. If I would tell you some of the stories of some of the first responders' calls, it would give you nightmares. How do they process this? How do they process? And you'd be happy to know so many of our first responders have a faith in God. That is the anchor to carry them through. Not all, of course, not all. And I realize in this beautiful sanctuary and all of our campuses in Oahu and Chula Vista, City Heights, El Cajon, San Marcos, here in Point Loma, our rooms right here, sitting right next to you, are so many amazing stories of what God has done. bringing hope and healing in horrible times. And God got you through it. And yet I know also just down the road from you is maybe one or two people that they're desperately just trying to hang on to life. They're desperate. We had the survey at the Just One event, and live survey where people could weigh in and where they're at. And the top ones were anxiety, depression, and I'm not enough. When I hear that from the young and the generation being raised up, I'm feeling I'm not enough. I'm not worthy. I'm worthless. Those are all lies that this culture, social media, all the things trying to crush us with the lies. Yesterday we had the encounter. Some of you have FOMO, fear of missing out. Well, let me build on your FOMO. You missed out. Too bad. Next time you need to go to Encounter. We do these throughout the year. It's a time for healing. It's a time of engagement. And it's a time of truth to wash and get a new identity, finding hope, healing, deliverance, and so much that God, his arms are open wide to us. And he says, come to me. Just come to me. I love you. At Encounter, this dear woman that was I got to pray for, she, maybe you're here, beautiful person, she lost a loved one through a house fire. She was burned. The love of her life was killed in the fire. And as we got to minister to her, encourage her, I just said, can I, on behalf of your father, just give you a hug? And she just melted in my arms. I asked for her forgiveness for not being a good enough father and walked through some of the things that just, and she wept and wept and wept. And then afterwards, she said, you know, when I was in the hospital, I have brothers, my dad, no one visited me. I needed that hug because God is my father. A lot of us here today need to embrace God. You know, so many books of the Bible deal with human suffering. The book of Job, it's all about human, or Job if you're out of work. It's just about losing everything. The Psalms, one-third of the Psalms, 51 of the Psalms, poetry, it's the heart throne room of God. 51 are dealing with loss, trauma, distress, grief. I go to the Psalms when I'm struggling. You know, I'm 50 years old. Okay, so I lied a little bit. Actually, I've been in ministry 50 years. This is my year of jubilee. It's supposed to be a year of joy and celebration, yeah. I've been doing chaplain ministry for quite some time. The very first call I went on in trauma response was the Ford Theater when Abraham Lincoln got shot. That one didn't turn out so good, but you know, I've been around, and I've seen a lot, and a lot of brokenness. And the Psalms, the First Peter, Hebrews, James, or so many of the books of the Bible. Then you read through the testimonies of God's leaders, and they struggled, many of them, with depression. You have Elijah, Job, Jonah. All of these leaders were crying out, Lord, I can't deal with this. Moses, Lord, just take me out. I can't handle this anymore. And I know some sitting here or watching online as well, you're desperate from a touch from God. The book of Habakkuk, it's a prophet, little tiny book in the Hebrew scriptures. And long story short, as he was crying out to God, saying, God, there is so much pain in the world, so much evil, so much brokenness. When are you going to bring deliverance? When are you going to make things right? And he cries out to God, and God responds to him, oh, I'm going to do something. And if I told you, your ears would tingle. You won't believe it. And he says, I'm going to bring the Chaldeans, your enemy, down to Judah to judge your people. And the prophet's going, you're going to use something more evil than our people to judge us? Why? Throughout the book, he's going, why, God? Why, God? Why is this happening? Do you know why is this happening is an acronym for with. Whenever you're at a spot saying, Lord, why is this happening? God's with you. He wants to draw his love into your life to give you his perspective. The name Habakkuk, his name means to embrace, to embrace. God worked a wonder. At one point he says, Habakkuk, the just, the righteous, the good, will live by faith. Trust me, I'm still on the throne. And God took him to appeal upon the promises of God to with the point where no matter what the circumstances, he would joy and rejoice in the Lord. A number of years ago, two city buses collided down in Logan Heights, and I got the notification, and so I head down and put on my fire jacket, and I was mass casualty, all these ambulance and people on bodyboards and things, and you know, when I arrive, it's just overwhelming, and my first thought is, do for one that I wish I could do for everybody. You know, I wish I could fix every hurt here. That's my heart. I want to fix it. I want to rescue. And yet I know the best thing I can do is encourage you to cling to God. And I walked on the scene, and this dear woman with her 3-4-year-old son, she was on a bodyboard. Her neck collar was on, and they were going to transport her, and the police will take care of her son. But I just got down on one knee, and I took this complete stranger, a little boy, didn't speak English. I put my arms around him, and his mom is looking up at me, and she's going, gracias, 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 and this little guy is just wailing, and I grab him. He takes his face and just rubs his snotty nose all over me, and just is wailing, all of a sudden, turned to this, and he just held me. And I thought, Lord, thank you. I get to represent you. I get to be your presence in this moment to give someone a hug. That's all I could do. You know, when you hug somebody, and time studies are real clear, when you hug someone for more than 30 seconds, you get a hormone called oxytocin. It's a bonding hormone. Actually, your physiology changes. So when I learned this, when I come home every night, I used to come home, you know, on the phone or run it to the desk to do some emails. Now, my wife and I have an agreement. Whenever one of us returns home, we stop what we're doing and we just hold for 30 seconds. We just hold. Take a breath. And today, I know there's so much on your agenda. I want to encourage you, slow down. Engage your heart. Slow down and embrace what God has for you. I'm going to give you a number of scriptures. You can jot these down as we go, and I'll close with a few points. But here, Psalm 61:2. Some of you feel overwhelmed. Scripture says, Psalm 61, where David's writing says, from the end of the earth, I will cry to thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the Rock Church. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say that. Lead me to the Rock, to Jesus. You know, the Rock Church won't save you. People won't save you. Government won't save you. Your spouse won't save you. Your boss won't save you. It's the Rock, Jesus Christ. Our pastor made this statement. I love it. It says, here at The Rock, we are committed to helping people take the gospel into every street and every person so we can show the world that no matter where one finds themselves, Jesus is the hope they long for. I love our pastor has been driven since day one. I've known him for over 40 years. Day one, he's about Jesus. And he'll tell you, it's not about me. It's not about the Rock. It's about Jesus, our hope. My oldest granddaughter, Kennedy, when she was real little. My wife and I were babysitting her, and we were playing in the playground, and she had some sand toys, and she was digging and playing, and all of a sudden this little child, about a little boy, came over. It was about her age, and he grabs one of her toys and starts digging, and she's looking at him, and she gathers all her toys, stands up, and walks a little further away, sits down, and starts digging again. Well, the little boy didn't have toys, and so he follows her over there, sits with her, starts grabbing the toys again, and starts digging. And I looked at her, and she's looking at the boy like, "Bapa, help me, help me." That's my name now, is Bapa. And I said, "Kennedy." Again, she's like three and a half, 4 years old. I go, "Sometimes it's okay to share." And she looked right up at me. She's brilliant. She looked right at me and said, "Sometimes it's good to share. Sometimes it's not good to share. This is one of those times." I was like, "Oh my gosh." Well, let me encourage you. Today is one of those days to share your heart with those sitting next to you in your home, to have that mercy of God as we connect and embrace with one another. Hope is not wishful thinking. It's not positive thinking. In short, here's biblical hope. It's confident trust that God is faithful to his character and that he will fulfill his promises. Even when the present is difficult, it's a powerful spiritual anchor that connects faith, love, and endurance. You know, when you're asking why, and you say, "God, why? Why?" He doesn't give us explanations, but he gives us his promises. "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. I'm working good in ways you don't see." My dear friend, we have a dear friend, lived with us before she got married, Courtney, and she eventually got married. They moved to Hollywood. She was a makeup artist, kind of struggling, her and her husband, Ben, and just trying to make ends meet. And lo and behold, she's downtown parking her car, kind of a beater car, and she scratched a Rolls Royce. At this point, her world's falling apart. She's like, "Oh my gosh," she's broken, she's weeping. She writes a note, "I'm so sorry, I scratched your car. My name's Courtney, here's my phone number, we'll take care of it." And so she left her number. Later that afternoon, she gets home all upset, her husband's trying to comfort her. She gets a call from the person. And she says, I'm sorry. And the lady on the other end said, it's okay. She gave her name. And right away, Courtney recognized her name. And she said, "My insurance will take care of this." And then Courtney says, "Well, are you such and such?" A very famous makeup artist in Hollywood that does all the movie stars, one of the top makeup artists. She goes, "Yes, that's me." She goes, "Oh, I'm just getting into makeup. You're my just someone I really look up to." And she said, "Well, let's get to lunch. Go to lunch. Let me take you to lunch." They go to lunch. She helps kick her off on her career. Now she's connected. She's doing movie stars, all of this. Her and her husband just took her career and spiraled it off. And then her and her husband, all the wealth, and in that culture, they got into cocaine and just started. No, I'm just kidding. How do you know? How do you know this circumstance that you're in isn't going to be the very thing that God is going to use to draw you closer to him and to fulfill your purpose? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, "This hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil." The hope of Jesus Christ. The middle verse of the Bible, you know, we can put hope in government. That's not going to help. People put hope in religion. God wants a relationship, not a bunch of duties and obligation. He's just got open arms for that relationship. One of the middle verses of the Bible, it says in Psalm 118, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, in government. As Pastor Travis said, trust in the Lord with all our heart. I'm going to play a little video. I'm sure you've seen this on social media. There's a sheep that gets stuck in a trench, and the young shepherd is pulling this sheep out of the trench. Draw your attention to the screen. There he is. Oh, help me. Somebody help me. Thank you, the good shepherd. Yes, yes, I'm free. Ah. Oh, my goodness. And sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes our problems are things we caused. It's decisions we made, compromises. Sometimes our hurts cause us, we want to cope, and so we do things to cope. We start to abuse drugs or alcohol or shopping or anger, rage. We start to rage or become a narcissist. Narcissism correlates with childhood trauma. It's a means by which the brain self-protects. Nobody is safe. I'm the only one that's right. If you give the 20 questions of a narcissist, and some of you are married to a narcissist, some of you are a narcissist. We all have a bit of self-centeredness in us. You give 20 questions of a narcissist, you're like, oh, they got to read this. This is so describes them. You give them those questions, and they read it, and you're looking, they're going to see it. They'll read the question and go, and they'll read it and go, oh my gosh, thank you for giving me this. I know someone like that. Because they can't self-reflect. It's too painful. You know, there's a statement. A Chinese philosopher said this. If you do not change direction, you may end up where you're headed. Let me encourage you. Let's set our course. Let's change direction. Let's true north to Jesus. Psalm 94, dealing with anxiety. Look at the encouragement. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say, my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, you will uphold me. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. If you struggle with anxiety, you need to draw close to the embrace of God. He only loves you. There is nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. Nothing you can do to make him love you any less if you're in Jesus Christ. He only loves you. Like for Judah, he says, my thoughts towards you are only good for a future, a hope. Here, David, his family broke apart. His son literally was trying to kill his father. Talk about family dysfunction. His son Absalom gets an army to chase King David out, and he pens Psalm 55 during this time of just great pain. Listen to the adjectives, how he's describing. My heart is sore, pained within me. The tears of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And the most common thing that people do when they're overwhelmed, I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest. We want to run. We want to isolate. Isolation, actually, there's a meta study done of all studies on isolation. It is deadly. Isolation correlates with early death, suicide, mass murder. We need each other. We need friends around us. We need people. We need God. David comes to the conclusion, I want to run, I want to flee, I can't handle this anymore. And he concludes, and he says, cast your burden upon the Lord. Literally, roll upon God your burdens. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. God is your strength. We do classes throughout the year training people how to help people in in crisis. Our chaplain's ministry, if that's something you're interested in. We have classes coming up on grief and helping people in crisis in June. It's spiritual psychological first aid, how to process trauma. Just text chaplaincy to 52525. You know, I love, you know, May 25th this year. Guess what day it is? 2 weeks. It's 52525. At Rock Church, that's our code, so it's a special day. You know, at Rock Church, come. If you need people, text 525, put in groups, and it'll give you all the information. Next steps, it'll give you all the information. If you need a Chick-fil-A, just 52525, Chick-fil-A. It worked yesterday at Encounter. Bags and bags of Chick-fil-A just showed up for everybody. Maybe we bought them, but anyway, you can try it. Well, let me close with 4 points to hang on to, okay, to cling to. The first point, presence. Hope is rooted in God's presence. God, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Habakkuk, to embrace that encounter. It's a time where everyone comes to soak in the presence of God. It's a day of worship, a day of healing, a day of discovery. Psalm 39:7 says, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you." Sometimes we're looking where, when, why, how. God's word says, no, it's who. It's Jesus. You know, I wrote a book a number of years ago, one of my books. It's called God Is Now Here. It's at our bookstore in the lobby. But sometimes people read it, God is nowhere. And all along it's, Lord, where are you in my pain? He is closer than your thoughts. He's more near your situation than you could ever imagine. The second point, promises. Hope is anchored in God's promises in God's word. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we may have hope." Hope in the promises of God. There's also hope through Jesus Christ, proven resurrection. It's proof that God will be with you. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For almost 20 years, I was a children's youth pastor, and eventually I got demoted to work with adults. Adults only have half left, and I was half a life left, but I was doing this class and teaching them, you know, when you have Jesus in your life, and someday when you die, you go to heaven, and we use this wordless book and colors to explain the gospel, and at the end of the class, you know, I wanted to help the children review, and I said, "So, how do you get to heaven? What do you need to do?" And one of the kids shouted out, "You need to die." Yes, but there's hope before we die. God so loves us. God wants to embrace. And finally, hope in the power of God. Hope transforms. Romans chapter 5 says, "We also glory. We glory in God and also in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." Perseverance, character. Character, hope. "Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." You know, in research, most people go through trauma and experience what's called post-traumatic growth. Not PTSD, but PTG. There's a number of years ago, there was a hurricane came through Gilchrist, Texas, on the Gulf there. There's about 200 homes that are retirement area, and Hurricane Rita came through and wiped out all the homes. Well, 2008, another hurricane came, but the Adams, Warren and Pam Adams, when they went through that first hurricane, they were like, we can't do this again. We got to come back stronger. They built a hurricane-proof home. They put deep pillars into the soil, built a home. 2008, the hurricane came through, Hurricane Ike. I'll put the picture there. There's their home. It's known now as the last house standing. This is you. This is what God wants to do in our lives. Through our hardships, through our trials, His proof, His promises, His presence will give us the power to withstand and to grow closer and closer to Him. And so I want to give you an opportunity to acknowledge, be vulnerable, be raw, be open, to say, you know what, I need God. Some of you need to come back to Him. Some of you need a hug, literally, from God and from people around you. If people would hear your story, they would weep. They would weep to hear what you're going through. We need each other. We're family. The Bible says we're a body. We are family. God is our Father. Before we rush out to the next thing in life, we just need to pause. Be still. Know that God is God. And so wherever you're at, I'm just going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. And then I'll end the prayer, but I don't want you to rush off, because some people right next to you just need a hug. They just need you to say, hey, we're with you. We're going to get through this together. Last service, people were staying after, just hanging on to one another to get through what they're going through, because God is present. You willing? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the beautiful people that make up Rock Church. We are family. We're not perfect. I know each and every one of us, our lives are broken in so many different areas, and yet you alone are the source of life. You're the source of forgiveness. You're the source of hope. If you're here today and maybe you've drifted from God, or maybe the hurricane's just gone through your life and wiped you out, and you want to come back with a foundation of faith, it's so simple to admit you need God. All 12-step programs begin with, I need help, and I need a higher power. I need Jesus. That I would ask you to believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins, was buried 3 days, and then He rose from the dead as our hope, as our power, as our source of life, and that you would confess that Jesus is Lord. So on the count of three, if that's your desire, to come back to the Lord or just to cling to Him for the very first time, if that was your prayer, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I just want you to raise your hand up really high. Raise it high. God bless you. God bless you. God, hold it up. God bless. God loves you. He sees you.